Okay, thank you very much for coming to the Thursday night Parsha Shir. This year, as we began one shir, 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, we're going to be studying the Sefer Yisodei HaTorah from Aaron Lopiansky. Very, very beautiful Sefer. Now, the interesting thing about what we're going to be doing this year, as opposed to other years, there's people here that have been here with me learning Parsha for 18 years. My gosh. And some for 18 minutes. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So what's going to be a little different this year, usually, you know, there's many original ideas and chidushim. This Sefer Yisodei HaTorah, the beautiful thing about it, why I'm enjoying why I selected it, is because it's a little bit different. He goes through every parasha, all of the fundamental ideas in Emunah, fundamental pillars of Emunah, of Yiddishkeit. These are going to be the foundational ideas that everything's based on. So it's not so many chidushim, but on the other hand, they're really, really fundamental and important ideas. So in this week's parasha, of course, where it's all about tshuva. It's the appropriate time of year to be talking about it. Anyway, so let's jump right in. He starts off with a very famous kasha that everybody asks. And that is that I'm sure we're all familiar with the fact that it's not a medrash. We think it's a medrash. It's actually a pasuk in the Chumash. So there's this idea that this bris, this covenant that Klal Yisrael went into, that we're going to read about in Parshas and Tzavim, this bris, it's not only binding on the people who were there at that time, in that generation, who accepted the olos and the klalos, they accepted the blessings and the curses of the bris, but it also, the bris goes on all future generations. And the question is, Mr. Hyman, right? Okay. And the question is, come, Elliot, come. And the question is, really? What makes the covenant binding on the future generations? This is the kasha, all that we've shown him. So some of us, we've heard Midrashim that say that every soul was at Har Sinai, right? I don't know about you, I don't remember it. But maybe at Mistama I was there. Probably was there, I don't know, I don't remember. But right, when your body and your neshama are split, so it's just your neshama was there, so you know it's hard to know. But this is talking about the bris and arvas moav and dvarim. So what's really binding on future generations? That's really the issue that he's quoting here from the Akedas Yitzchak. A lot of Rav Lopiansky is quoting from Rabbeinu Bechayai Akedas Yitzchak, and the one sefer we quoted last time, I think it's called Toras HaMincha, one of the Rishonim that we never heard of before Rav Lopiansky taught him to us. We never heard of him. I think it's Rav Yitzchak Misikli, from Sicily. Anyway, he talked about it in this parash also. Anyway, so he says, so that Kedesh Yitzchak takes a whole different approach to this. He has a whole different approach to this. It's not that all of us were there, we weren't all there. It's not that, come, I've got a good seat for you, Ben Sio. Good seats. It's not that all of us were there. No. What this pasuk means, that the bris is binding on everybody else, it's because Klal Yisrael has a natural, deep, penetrating union with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can't live without Him. He created us in a way, as a nation and a people, that for all future generations, we are naturally, as it were, married to Him. And He gives Mishalim, I didn't quote the whole thing here, all these pieces are very, very long, but He gives a mashalike of someone who, you know, if a king totally rehabilitated a person, and his children, and his family, and his brothers and sisters, and the king gave them their whole reason for being. So what are you going to say? Five generations later, and he gave them all their land, and told them where they should live, and provided everything for them. What are you going to say? Five generations later, they're going to rebel. They're going to say, we don't need the king anymore. So the king's going to withhold. He's going to withhold everything that he gave. The whole deal in the original was that you're my people, that I'm the one who sustained your whole, I gave you everything. I'm your whole reason for existence. I'm the whole reason you got there. So what are you going to do? Turn your back on me? He says, it's like turning your back on life. It's like turning your back on your sustenance of life. It's not a matter of, oh, if the parents accepted the bris, so the Kabbalah sabris of the parents is also binding on the kids. That's not what it's about, says that kid. That's not the point. The point is that Hashem created us in a way, the very creation of us in the first place is that we need the Torah to survive. That's what he says it means. Let's read it inside a little bit. He says, Ha'amnam. Hamna ki ledati ein dvar hashvua hazos kmo shechashvu rabim. It's not a shvua like so many people think like many other people think, it's not a shvuah like so many people think. I'm right over here, Jay. You got a good seat still. It's not a shvuah like people think, like, oh, so dad made the shvuah, and everybody's choker. Oh, dad made the shvuah. Is a shvuah that dad made binding on the kids? It's not. So it's not what people thought. Ain kim nitzchis bris hashem misal v'avaso imomozos tluyin b'chumrasa. It's not because of the chumra of the fact that we accepted a shvuah, so a shvuah and the dad is such a chumra shvuah that applies to the kids. Aval hu kiyum v'dibuk tivi hechrechi gadol v'chazak imenu. He says it's much more powerful than a shvuah. The reason it's binding on us is much more powerful than a shvuah. Lo yishua bitulam shin tzadvinim ba'olam. It's impossible to fathom breaking this bris. It would be like a person is breaking his own life. It would be like a person is committing suicide. He says, breaking the bris is basically like an individual committing suicide. V'hu ma sheyichayev chok v'teva kol nimtza shelo lahafish mechayev. Every living organism, by its nature, doesn't want to end its life. It doesn't want to end its life. U'ma sheyosim bris krusa l'chol ba'al chayev shel yabed es atzmo shezeh imishur be'echad me'ir uv'rov hayomim lehefse dimyono yavar achol kuhu v'yovad es atzmo kinevams lo yishav shirus al kol yishay osa amin u'kom sham butlet daitas chaladim. If you find one meshugna that takes his own life, but ladaito, that's not normal. V'chein al zeh ha'ofen atzmo lo yishur efsharus hi nazir ha'uma azos me'elokea. Says that case. Says like it's not shayach to fathom Klal Yisrael leaving God. It's not shayach to fathom that. It's like leaving your source of life. Efsharus haniyazer mozos me'elokeo mitzasev chukav b'shum panim ki huchok mutba b'hem yoseh chamor v'yoseh chazak mishvuah. Wow. He says that Klal Yisrael's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Torah Mitzvos, it's not because we accepted upon ourselves a shvuah. That's why it's binding. It's more natural and instinctive. This is what that case is, like, understands that we're both to say. What comes to mind is the Gemara Nida. Of Salvechik famously talked about it, right? The Gemara Nida says that a malach comes and teaches Klal Yisrael the whole Torah in their womb, and then they forget it on the way out, and then everyone asks the kasha, if you forgot it, what are you learning it for? So Rav Salvechik said, no, it's to tell every Jew that we have a natural, inherent, organic connection with Torah. It's not like when we learn Torah, it should be something that's brand new. No, there's something deep inside us in our subconscious. We forgot it in consciously, but in our subconscious, there, it's a natural, organic connection to Torah. That's what he says. Let's go. Kfar nesparba mamar, lo esav osein akras shem esav bizazos, ki yitano anach ilo pohu, hayom chonu chayim, b'shar pei tes. It's not just because people were mekabel the bris. It's with their life. Anyone who's alive needs this. Any Jew is alive. The Torah is literally life, the lifeblood, the life thread of the Jewish people. Commotion as far as their shar pei tes. It's not a matter of accepting the bris. It's at least the way Akedah Yitzchak understands that Klal Yisrael has an organic connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are naturally suited. Hashem made us naturally suited to be the people who are going to carry on His Torah, and therefore a person who rejects it is in fact rejecting life. That's the way the Akedah Yitzchak understands point number one. Let's continue. Point number two is from a Ramban. Again, we probably learned this 13 years ago, but I'm assuming that maybe there's one or two people that doesn't remember it from 13 years ago. But he says it on this pasuk. He's talking about a Baal Aveira. Who's this bris going on? I'm going to do whatever I want. Then you have these strange words. Then the pasuk Laman Sfos Harava Es Hatzmeya. So that the satiated one will now have added on to it the thirsty one. The Sfos HaRavas HaTzmeya. The Tzmeya will be added on to the Rav. What in the world does that mean? Nobody knows. Everybody's hacking about this. And the Ramban teaches us a very, very important yisod about how the Yetzer Hara works and how man is supposed to address his Yetzer Hara. So, so appropriate for these days of Elul and Aseres Yemei Tshuva when we're trying to think about how to stay away from the bad stuff. It also has to do with dieting, because everything has to do with dieting. But anyway, says the Ramban, Hataiva hagoveris umschasekis belief tikra shrirus. Shrirus, ki b'shrirus li belief, that's the taiva. That's the constantly growing taiva. That's called shrirus. Like sharir v'kayam. B'shrir bitna. U'perish l'man s'vosarovis ha-sveya, he says, l'hosif ha-sveya im ha-mis-aveh. Someone who was formerly satiated all of a sudden becomes a baal taiva. Ki nefesh sveya tikva rove, ki niravis nashe kohanim deshanami es tuvi yisbo. V'hois nashe kigan rove, ha-mis-aveh nikrat tikrat smeya. So a satiated soul is called rove. A soul that has taivas that's not satiated, that's called smeya. Tzama l'cha nafshi. V'atam, says the Ramban, a very, very important yisod in how the Yetzirah attacks a person and how the Yetzirah grows, and a very, very important yisod in how to fight the Yetzirah. Ki nefesh ha'adam ha'rava she'inena misavad v'ram ha'rayim la, kasha tova b'libo k'tsas ha'taiva, v'hu yamale tava so, oz Yosef b'nafsho taiva yisera, v'tia tzmeya ma'od l'davar ahu, she'achal o she'as yosef b'barishona. He says a psychological analysis of how the Yetzer Hara works. A person might be sitting at home, and he has a very mild taiva for something, a very mild taiva for sin. Something that you'll see exactly the sins he's talking about in a moment, but he has a very mild taiva for sin. But once you give in to that mild taiva, the mild taiva becomes a much stronger taiva. That's what he says. So the key with fighting the Yetzer Hara is don't even let him get a foot in the door in the first place. Some people think, interesting, dieting, they also think this way. And the truth is, sometimes it does work when it comes to dieting this way. Some people think, maybe it's a good idea to give in to the Yetzer Hara a little bit. Give in to a little bit, and that'll be a good defense. Sometimes I'll give in a little bit, and that way it'll be, I'll have had my fill. So I'll give in to a little Yetzer Hara so that I won't have to submit to the large Yetzer Hara. Says the Ramban, that's not the way the Yetzer Hara is. It's not the way taivas work. The way taivas for things that you shouldn't be doing, the way those taivas work, the more you give into them, the more they come and attack you, and they double and reachable. So the key thing is, don't even let them in the door the first time. That's the key thing. We think, let them in the door, it's a big deal. Right? They, a lot of people, all in the Midrash, are talking about Adam and Chava, right? Like Chava with the snake, right? Just touch it, just touch it. You'll see, nothing will happen. So you touch it, then once you touch it, you want it, and you want it. That's the way the whole sin worked there as well. Let's just finish this. Here he says, And he gives an example. Let's say a person has a taiva to commit averus with beautiful women. If you really go and go with that taiva and you satiate yourself from that taiva, tva'o taiva lavo ala zachar v'ala behema. Once you give in to one taiva, other taivas creep up that you didn't even have a taiva for them the first time. But once you give in to the taiva, you need more and more and more. That's the way Yetzer Hara. You give in to it, you think, you gave in to it. You think, okay, I gave in, so now it's satiated. But that's not the way it works. You give in to the taiva, it wants more. Find me the next taiva. So now this is big. Now I've done this one, so it's not so exciting anymore. So I need something more exciting. So where's the next taiva? Uchinish is kir chachamim, a famous gemara in Sukkah, masbio ra'ev marivo saveya. Very fascinating gemara. I'm not going to go into all the details of that gemara, but those who know, that gemara says that when it comes to the taiva, especially for arayos, so it's very paradoxical. It sounds paradoxical. Masbio ra'ev. If you satiate it, it becomes more hungry. But marivo save. If you starve it, it's actually satiated. It's counterintuitive, right? You think, I'm thirsty, so I drink. I'm not thirsty anymore. That's not the way the Yetzer Hara works. That's what the Gemara says in Sukkah, and that's the way the Ramban says. The Yetzer Hara works the opposite. The more you starve it, the less hungry it is. As I zak the Gemara in Yuma, in Sukkah. So now how do we understand the Pasuk? A guy who allows his taivas to overtake him, shum yimali nafshu b'taivas ha-shrius, that are strong. Yosef nafsho harave im hatzmeya. Your nefesh that used to be satiated is now going to become, it's going to be added on to your satiation, more taiva. Even things that you didn't think you wanted beforehand, now you're all of a sudden going to want. And he explains that laman doesn't mean in order that, but laman just means cause and effect. It doesn't mean that I'm the reason why I'm going with my shiur is in order laman in order that svosavatsmeh. No, it just means that when I go with shiur slibo, the result is going to be svosavatsmeh. Laman means it's cause and effect. It's going to be the cause. Once you are mamala your taiva, the immediate effect is going to be you're going to need more taiva. This is probably also the reason why we've spoken about it many times. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Aveira Goreres Aveira, is because once you slip once, you go down the rabbit hole. I think that's the lesson that they say about the internet, right? You go click on one website, then you're going to click on another website, you're going to click on another one, and pretty soon it's an hour and a half later, and you say, where'd the time go? That's what happens. You go one, I need the net. Where's the next fix? Where's the next thing? Where's the next, I don't know, video of whatever? Oh, that's number two. Let's continue. Number three. Oh. In number three, quotes Rabbeinu Bechaye, and the Yesod of number three, we tend to think when we are fixing things, got to make sure that the last one is the best one, so I got to make sure to get to the last one. We're at a good pace. We tend to think when we're fixing things, we focus on fixing actions. Actions, right? This action is wrong. This action needs improvement. Actions. So Rabbi Lopiansky quotes a Rabbeinu Bechaye that focuses and explains that it's not just actions that require fixing around Rosh Hashanah time, and maybe even worse than actions are thoughts. And one might ask, how do I fix my thoughts? My thoughts are my thoughts. My thoughts are my thoughts are out in front of me. My thoughts are not fixable. I can't help that. I thought it. It's already thought. How do you control what your mind thinks about? We know, like, if you try to dive in Shimon Esrei, you try to dive in, all of a sudden you say, how did I get up to this in Shimon Esrei? Like, I could have sworn, the last thing I remember from Shimon Esrei was like, Slach Lanu. And all of a sudden I'm at like, you know, Shema Koleinu somehow, right? Usually it's Shema Koleinu where I wake up also. Usually it's Shema Koleinu. It's like, where'd the last six brachas go? Like, did I say them? Did I not say them? So your thoughts are difficult to control. Oh, so look what Rabbeinu Bechaye talks about. He's going to be two main points. How important machshavos are, how important they are in Judaism. It's not just about what you do and don't do, but your thought process and the thoughts that you have as you're doing various mitzvos or as you're doing various averos. Your thought process is as important and maybe even in some cases more important than the actions that you're doing, as we'll see. And number two, that thoughts are actually controllable. That's what he says. Let's see. Gamin ayadua. It's on the same pasuk, I think. That's why I don't have the pasuk here. Is that the same pasuk? I think so, yeah. In his heart, he's excited about these averes. He says, I'm going to do whatever I want. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, the heart is the root of the body, umachshavos anafim, and thoughts are the branches that go out of that root. That's the heart. Vahamaisim peros. You see the building he just built. The heart, which of course we know, the heart is not really where the doctors can tell. It's always an interesting zug. How come the Torah always a lot of sources seem to indicate that the heart is where we talk about machshavos. Now, biologically, we know the machshavas actually come from the mind. So why does it talk about... But lev yodei maros nafsho. I mean, generally, the Torah uses the word heart to describe the place where machshavas are. That's stam an interesting question. Maybe I would argue, based on what the Rabbeinu Bechaye is saying, just came to me now, that maybe the idea is that since the heart is like the root and the center of the body, which pumps the blood, which is the lifeblood, so we're mechaneh, we call the heart as the place of machshavas because of the fact that machshava is such a fundamental, foundational part of the human being. But anyway, his thoughts that emanate from the heart are the branches. The thoughts of a rasha, rak rak kol hayom, the thoughts of a Rasha. In other words, in order, how did the Rasha get to all his bad actions? Because he's thinking bad ideas all day long. Lo yamish me'asos pri ra umar. Even if he doesn't end up acting on it, he's going to get punished for the machshava. A person should not treat machshavos lightly. Both the rejoicing of the body as well as the sadness of the body are tuluyim v'machshava. V'imkein, hari ha-machshava shehi min alev yotze lepol u'mizgales p'guf ha'adam. The machshava bears fruit and is shown in man's body. U'me'ata yuzbona adam ha'atzmo godel scharo im yispach mitzvos. So first of all, Rabbi Nechai says, what do we see from this? The machshava is so important. The machshavas are really what begets the actions. They're sort of the branch that the action hangs on. So it's like the root and the foundation. So he says, because of that, we can understand, he extends that idea to say that when a person is misameach, right, a person you could throw on your tefillin every morning, like you throw on your tefillin every morning. Shkayach, you throw on your tefillin, okay, you get a check and shomer, you get a mitzvah for that. But he says that you get so much more schar for putting on tefillin if you put on tefillin b'simcha, and you're so excited about it, because the machshava is what gives rise to the action. Godel schar mitzvahs, v'godel onsho yismach v'aveira. Wow. And he says that it's one thing to do an aveira nebuchai. I feel like I have to do it. I had no choice. I feel terrible doing the aveira. But a guy who gets a geschmack out of the aveira, that he's mamish b'simcha from the aveira, that's so much worse. V'chem b'midas ha'atzvon, sadness. Godel schar v'onsho. If you're sad when you're doing a mitzvah, that's horrible. And if you're sad when you're doing an aveira, that's much better. V'zeu shamu chazal, hirhure aveira kashin me aveira. Wow. Gemara says in Yuma, we talked a lot about this, in Peshas, the Daf Yomi, we talked a lot about this. Hirhure aveira kashin me aveira. So he has like four pshatim. I didn't quote all of them, but he says, thoughts about aveira are more difficult to contend with than the Aveira itself. What does that mean? The thoughts of the Aveira are more difficult to contain than the Aveira itself. Lefi, Shehirhur hazeh yotze lidei pu'ulo miskala beguf. V'alken ye kasha me'aveira below hirhur. That's the way, that's pshat number one, he says. He says it means like this, that the hirhur Aveira, it expresses itself in your body, in your actions, and therefore it's worse than doing an Aveira without hirhur. He's saying, getting a geshmak out of the Aveira is worse than doing an Aveira without a geshmak. Sharei bezeh, hirhur upu'ula, because one is both thoughts and action. Uvezeh, pu'ula below hirhur. So that's his first pshat. His first pshat is, hirhur Aveira, kashim Aveira, means that if you get a geshmak, if you're really excited about the Aveira, that's so much worse than doing an Aveira without being excited about it. That's one pshat. There's a lot of explanations. This one that I said, it's one. Second pshat. Just doing an Aveira does not necessarily bring you to more Aveiras. But a guy who's always thinking about Aveiras, he's not just going to do one Aveira. That's on his mind. That's what he's thinking about. Yomam v'layla, that's what he's always thinking about. His thoughts are going to bring him to do many, many, many more Aveiras. So that's what it means. Hirhuri Aveiras Kashim Aveira, because an Aveira itself, the way Rabbi Bechai is saying it, the Aveira itself may not bring you to do more Aveiras. But a guy who thinks about Aveiras, he's always plotting to do Aveiras, he's got a bad mind, he's got a misanthropic, you know, thoughts all the time, he's always thinking negative, he's always thinking against, he's always thinking rebellion, he's going to do Aveira after Aveira after Aveira after Aveira. Hirhuri, that's pshat number two.
But Rebbe, you get punished for that? Just for thinking? You didn't do it.
Right. We usually assume machshava ra ena kodesh brochu misafel lemaisa. Yeah. He actually talks about that. But again, I think it means that it leads. It means it's more difficult. It means because it's much more likely that it's going to lead you to averus. Not necessarily that you're going to get punished for that itself, but it's going to lead you to things that you are going to get punished for, as opposed to just doing averus, which may not necessarily. Again, this is sort of against what we said before. Before we said that by doing an averus, that's going to bring you to do more averus. But anyway, he's saying the hirhurim are even worse. The old pirsha with third shot. Ki hirhur avera kashna al nefesh me'avera atzma lefi. Shehirhur tali belev v'hanefesh mishkana belev. V'alkein kishu metami osav machshav. Wow, this is unbelievable pshat he says here. V'alkein kishu metami osav machshav ra. Kashi yosav me'avera atzma. Ki osav avera atzma y'machshav to kol kach truda. You hear this? Third pshat. Listen to this. He says, anything that affects your machshavas affects all of you. If you do a dry action and you didn't get such a geschmack out of it, so you did the action and it's over, it doesn't have an effect on you as a person. But a person who has bad machshavas, that hits you to your core. That's who you are. That's the way you think. That's your MO as a person, your modus operandi. You're a type of person who thinks bad thoughts. He suggests that affects you much more profoundly and much more overall. Overall, your thoughts, you're always with your thoughts. An action, you did an action, it's over. But your thoughts, that you're thinking, it's more pervasive. It takes over more of you. So that's why he's suggesting over here that your thoughts, in a certain sense, are even worse than your actions. So we got to work to purify our thoughts, to cleanse our thoughts, almost even more than cleansing our actions. Because here, hirhuri avera, the Gemara says, are kashim avera. Yeah, what are you saying?
Again, that's a premeditated avera versus an impulsive avera?
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly. Yeah. A guy who does, oh wow, I didn't realize. You know, a lot of times we have that. Like, by the time you realize it's avera, it's done already, right? A lot of times things like that happen. We flicked something on it. We didn't realize it. Hilchas Shabbos, right? Something happens, are you ready? There's a stain on something. I just saw the stain. My gut reaction is I'm going to rub it off. Might be nissa doraisa, right? If you have water with it, right? You take water. People do it all the time. I've stayed on the suit. You're not thinking, poop, issa doraisa, right? With water to stay. So that's not a rebellion. That's okay. You forgot. You didn't realize. Alava daite. That's not the same thing. Right. I'm saying that. So that wouldn't be as bad as a premeditated. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. I think so. That's pshat number three. Pshat number four. I'll leave it at three. Anyway, and last point here, after the English. Vim yishal shoel. Oh, but if you'll ask the kasha, v'hech yanish ha-kosav al-hir below maise. How could the Torah punish you for thoughts, especially thoughts without an action, like Dr. Joe asked? Ki bevadei ein ha-adam yochel lishlot ba'atzmo shel yala b'libo machshavos ros. We're all human beings. We all have bad thoughts. How are you gonna control that? He's giving us a whole mussar here about how bad the bad thoughts gonna lead to bad things, and it's a terrible thing. How are you supposed to control it? Vim kein, lama yanish amash eino biyado. How can Hashem punish on that which is not in your hands? Answer the Rebbeinu Mechayai, it is biyado. Aval odiach ikar adaber, yadua, ki bechiras hamaisim mesur biyado shalom tov v'lora. Choosing action, so that we all agree, right? That's a fundamental tenet of our religion, that we have bechira chafshis. We can choose to do actions and not do actions. Claims Rabbeinu Bechayai. Hu shekosav re'enu salafenach hayom asachayim asatov asamav asara, uvachar te bechayim. Gam bechira samachshav mesur biyado achar ha-hachonos. He says, choosing what to think about is also in our hands, so long as you prepare for it and you work hard for it. You have to work at it. He's going to tell you how. Ki nitzdaveh yachshav machshava tova. We're commanded to try to think good thoughts. V'nizoher, we should be careful. She yifan libel lachshav machshava ra. V'hu nigmal machshava tova v'nenash machshava ra. Just one more point, then I'll take your point, Dr. Ken, Dr. Kasriel. V'kasher yasvin machshav tozos zman rav. When a person trains himself to always be thinking these good thoughts, to always be thinking holy thoughts, to always be thinking good thoughts about other people, to always be thinking about closeness to Hashem and all these good things. V'yachin libo la'avas Hashem yisporach l'kav elu lechz v'drachav, gam Hashem yitein ato v'yigmaleu k'tzidko, she'yachin libo shel yachshav b'davar rav, v'l'yachshav shel rak tov. If a person does his ishtadlus and the best that he can, to try to think good thoughts about other people and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he tries his best to bring his thoughts to the right kinds of thoughts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rabbeinu Mechayah, will pay him back and keep him on the head, as he says, V'azeh Amru, Marn Yuma, Habal Latayr, Messiah. So if a person really has a deep rooted desire to only think good thoughts, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. We'll take a point in 1 second. And there's a lot of psukim about this. Kichol levavos dorosh Hashem b'chol yitzvah Hashem v'emanim t'bakshenu v'tochen libos Hashem Yashem b'sparach meichen leva adam v'yashal dosuk shadam meichen libo k'negdi yisala chen kosuv tavas anovim shamata Hashem tochen libam t'akshiv oznecha k'siv Hashem alokei avrasem avram tzav k'siv avrasem shom azlam liyetze machshol zvamecha v'hochein levava meilecha. Okay, I'm sorry, Dr. Kasriel.
No, I'm sorry. I think this paragraph was interesting where it says that thoughts could compound the sin of an avera. The thoughts compound the action. But when they were saying, like, how could you control your thoughts? I almost feel like a Seres HaDibros, like, lo tachmod. It's like, it's
everybody asks that. Yeah, that's a big kash. They all talk about that.
It's almost like they're asking a question here as if, like, that question doesn't exist.
So it's a great kash. Okay. All the Rishonim talk about that, lo sachmod, right? How can you tell you see somebody else's name? How do you tell yourself lo sachmod? It's a very good kash. So I think some say taka there. That's why some Rishonim understand losakma to mean like you can't actually like do a mice, like take it or force a guy to sell it or do something like that. But you're right. It's a very, very good question. Very good question. Oh, famous. The next piece is much more famous. Again, I'm getting to the end over here.
Can I just add that there's a thought, but then there's a desire. Meaning just to have a thought is one thing, but it's like to build upon the thought.
You can't give in. You can't give in to those thoughts. You can't let those thoughts become a full-fledged desire. You're very good. Okay. Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu v'aniglos lomo v'anim adalam sokti v'atar azos. There are many well-known pshatim. We said this in a shir like 14, 15 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So if you remember it from then you get a prize. But anyway, so Rabbeinu Bechai quotes a number of pshatim. First, he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam talks about Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu, that a lot of times we do sins when no one's watching, and we sort of feel a little bit better about doing sins when no one's watching as opposed to sins when everybody's watching. We seem to feel a little bit better about that. And the Torah here is trying to tell us that, you know, we have to remember that there's an ayin roa, there's an ozen shamas, there's somebody watching. There's always somebody watching. So that's the way the Rambam says. Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu. We should realize that things that we do in private, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. V'haniglos, lanol v'ein adolam, that it's easier for a person to watch. Chacham Rabbi Avraham Zal Pirish, it's the Rambam. Hanistaros mishi yavad avodah zarah b'seisem mishpatu b'yad Hashem yisparach. Hu yifar mena ein lanu bochiv. That's not for us. I'm sorry. That's Eben Ezra. I apologize. The first part's Eben Ezra. That's the Eben Ezra. That's Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra says it's talking about violating an aver in private. That's one pshat. V'shamati b'shema. I knew the Rambam was here, but v'shamati a Rambam has different pshat. V'shamati b'shema. Rambam apparently was exact. Hanistaros shem lokein yomar. Sodos haTorah hanistarim. V'tam haMitzvos laHashem yisalehem. Right. We don't know. We don't really know the exact reasons for all the mitzvos. V'myiska adam sheyikach hazno shemetz minhem b'yidiyas shorash mitzvah yikara b'nistar sheba. And if a person works hard to learn the tamei mitzvos, he sits and he thinks about them and he studies them and he feels like he got a good pshat in tamei mitzvos. So sometimes people think that if I understand the reason for the mitzvah, so actually doing the mitzvah is less important. He says, so the Rabbeinu Bechai says about the Rambam's Pshat, it's cute, it's nice, but that's not what the Pasuk means. But that's the way the Rambam says the Pshat, that Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, but Vaniglos, you know, the hidden ideas behind the mitzvahs, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows them, but even if you think you know them, realize that that's not the end of the story. The nistaros means the hidden reasons. Even if you think you're so great that you got the hidden reasons, a person shouldn't think that just because he knows the reason, he doesn't have to actually do the mitzvah. But then he has a different shot. The Yitachin Lefaresh, I thought this was very beautiful to talk about the golos. V'shamat v'yitachin lefarish. Hanistaros alokeinu k'mipnei. What's the pasuk before? V'yitushem v'shem alatzchem k'yom hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to throw us all into galus, which we're all living in now. This pasuk, right? That pasuk, right? V'yishlechem alatzchem k'yom hazeh. The galus halidach manafutz muorach biyoser. The galus is very, very long. Vakets sasam vanela minister. And nobody knows when galus is going to be over. Nobody knows. It's long. It's difficult. It takes a long time. Nobody knows when it's going to be over. Lakach sanach miad v'amar hanister ros Hashem elokeinu. Listen. Klomar ein lanu bo shum yedia ki uinyan nistal Hashem elokeinu levado. We don't know when it's going to be over. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Ve'eini tanu yodei ad ma. However, nevertheless, v'haniglos lanul vane klomar, kishiyu osan hanistaros, niglos lanul vaneinu, aleinu las is called v'atorah zos. L'amadnu akas v'zeh, ki torasenu kayemis l'olam, lo sevatal bizman bin azmanim v'afil bizman ha-mashiach. Wow. So he says, obviously we have to keep the long, the way the Rabbeinu Bechaya understands this, obviously we have to keep the Torah during the long, bitter Golos, that's the Nistaros. Golos is called Nistaros because we have no idea when it's going to end, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. V'haniglos, but when we finally get out of Golos, there's still going to be the Torah. We're still going to have to keep the Torah, even Bizman HaMashiach. And that's not interesting, that's a big machlokas among the Rishonim, whether or not the Torah is still going to be observed, Bizman HaMashiach. But then he has another thing where he says the word Nistaros is chaser. Vav, in the next paragraph, he says that's a reference to the fact that while we're in Golos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. It shouldn't be read as HaNistaros, but HaNisteres. LaShem Elokeinu. V'yirmoz HaKasev al HaShechina. U'ma shekara HaNisteres v'yish ha'isem mistateres ba'anan. V'hin HaNisteres menu b'zman HaGolos. Shanach nebo v'hester panim. During Golos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. Astir panam ehen. HaNisteros mibakoshes rachim LaShem. Elokeinu sheyigala akeitz lanu levaneinu. Ki hanisteres mevakeshes rachamim la'ashem elokeinu sheyigala lanu levaneinu. V'chem atzinu kama ksuvim shematzrichim gulu la'atzmo. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is in Golos. That's the way he understands it. Hanisteres la'ashem elokeinu. This long Golos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden with us. And when he reveals himself, he's not only going to redeem us, but he's going to redeem himself as well. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here with us in Golos, still watching us in Golos, still taking care of us, even though we feel far away and we feel like there's nobody listening, we feel it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and it's just getting longer and longer and longer, and we don't know the end of it, but we should realize, without the Vav, HaNisteres LaShem Elokeinu, there's a Ribono Shalom who's hidden with us in Golos, and he's going to redeem himself along with us, this idea of Shechinta B'Galusa, the Shechinta Z'Golos. Anyway, last 2 points, and especially the last one I wanted to share with you. The last 2 points. Here we go. Drasha Saran. But before the Drasha Saran, amazing Drasha Saran, beautiful, very important Drasha Saran, we have the second to last point is in that Kedas Yitzchak. Kedas Yitzchak. Oh. The Kedas Yitzchak here debates the philosophers. Apparently, Aristotle. I'm not an expert in Aristotle by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe somebody here is. Aristotle said, question is, which is better? Which is better? Someone who lives his whole life without any Yetzaharas, he never falls, without any sin, he lives his whole life with no sin, or somebody who sins and repents? Which is better? The philosophers apparently debated this, and Aristotle, as you might think, said, the best, highest madriga a person can be is you never sinned at all. That's the highest madriga. But a person who sins and repents, so that's a lower madriga. It's also good. It's also good, but you sinned. Why should have you sinned in the first place? The mere fact that you sinned is a problem. So you're better off never to have sinned at all. And Kedas Yitzchak points out that this goes against some Amar Chazal, especially the one that says, the Malkum Shebali Tshuva Omdim Afil Tzadikim Gumur Meinu Chom Lamon. So that's the topic of what he's talking about. Which is better? And it's a big chizuk, I think, because he talks about how if a person sins, so he shouldn't get so down about his sin. He should realize that he's a human being, and all human beings sin. And actually, a person who sins and does tshuva from the sin is on a much higher madriga than somebody who didn't sin in the first place. The Atta rule, just to try to do very quickly, because I got to get to the last rush that's around before 8:45, because Dr. Joe's got a board meeting. Here we go. The Atta rule. Right, this is the pasuk. What does this mean? He says, Rabbi Avo teaches us in Baruch Zaman Daud, Mongosh Baruch Zaman Daud, Eintag Mekum Yichon Lama. Shnemar, Shalom, Shalom, La Rochuk, Vala Karov, Shneschabtu Olav, Rabim, Verov HaMepharshim Omen, Ki Yir Beschara. Most Rishonim say that a Bala Vera, who does tshuva and returns, has more schar. V'tigda ma'alosa ma'alatzadikim. And the guy who sins and does tshuva from the sin, he's in a higher madrega than the people who never sinned in the first place. Al kov shemes yitzra. He was kovish his yetzer. Harogul ba'averos. Person's yetzer is used to doing averos. U'milchamas Hashem hu nilcha b'chol yom. This guy's fighting the good fight every day. The tzaddik never has these times. He's not fighting at all. But the Russia is fighting and fighting and trying to grow and fighting and fighting. Kamosha Amar. Hechi don bal tshuva. Kol sheba devar ve'il yodah pam rishon u'shniya. V'nit zel mimenu. Macha Yehuda ba'osa isha va'osa makom va'osa perek. Ki b'tshrei zman ehave chazoka. She'yintzach m'machamto. Tamid. V'hine hu etzlo nisayon atzmi temidi. V'oiluk bolo schar lov lefi godlo. The more times you beat up the Yetzirah, the more schar you get. The more pain you have, the more is a reward. Who's the philosoph? Aristotle. Perek Aleph V'Yud Beis. Meha Zayin. Mi Sefer Hamidos. No clue. Sh'amar Sham. Sh'ayish HaYashar. Aristotle claimed that a person who's Yasha She'ain Lo Tivus Ros, he mamish doesn't even have Tivus. I always wondered about this, right? He's going to talk about it in a minute, right? Kol HaGadol Mechaveru Yitzro Gadol Himenu, right? That's what Chazal say. So what does that mean? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein had bigger Tivus to do Averus than I do? Really? He had a Tivus to do bigger Averus than me? Really? Is that really true? I find that very hard to believe. I don't think that's what it means. Let's see what it means. He's going to talk about that. So anyway, the philosophers say, "Humu'ula me ha'kosher asher yeshlo, the kovei shosam who has tivus and he conquers them." Beperik yedaf me'arishin amar v'hinei zeh nishma l'seichel b'kosher avul ulai yosef nishma l'besadik of yosher. The Rav Hamoyre, the Rambam Perik Shishi quotes that also. Zachar zos hasvar v'kimas amar kosev. He says even psukim that sound like that. Nefesh rasha osa ra. But then he asks Akasha, "Aye, what about Lufum Tzar Agra? When Kol Shagol Chavi Yitzur Gadolei Menu?" Vote Miram Chazal. Al Yomer Adam Yeshu Besar Chat. Person shouldn't say, "I don't want to eat treif." Aval Efshu Ma'asev Avishmam Gozer Alai. Who is going to name? Because Chazal Ainim Bedavim. He told you to make a chiluk between mitzvahs that are chukim. By chukim, it's okay to have tivus for them, but by mishpatim, he says it's not a good thing. That's the way he answered it. But anyway, the Rabbein Bacha, Akedas Yitzchak himself says it's not true. The Rambam's wrong. And he says it's not true. But a person who struggles, who fights, and who beats up on his Yetzirah, that's the biggest schar. Much more schar than the guy who never had the Yetzirah in the first place. The more you fight, the more you win, the more you're in it for the work. He says, once you're fighting against yourself, if you're in the fight, as long as you're in the fight every day, you're fighting, and winning, little by little, you're winning. That's more schar than the guy who never had the tithes in the first place. I heard recently an amazing gra, where the gra says, really struck me, that the famous gra on Sefer Yonah, Taka. Sefer Yonah, which we're going to read on Yom Kippur. Famous gra where he says the whole Yonah was just a Gilgal, a story of a Gilgal. Famous commentary, he says the whole Yonah was a Gilgal that had to be thrown back to the earth for some kind of tikkun. And the gra over there writes that it's dafka, those things that a person struggles with the most. That's exactly the reason why you were placed on this earth, to fight that struggle and to win that struggle. So a person shouldn't get upset at the things that he's struggling with the most, because he should know that is the, according to the Gra, that is the Iker Nisayon of the reason you're here. The more you struggle with it, the more that's the thing that you were put here to dafka struggle with. That's what the Gra says. Anyway, last thing here quickly. Drashas Sarad says something. I'll say it outside because it's already 8:45. I'll just say it very quickly outside. It's amazing. You got to do it for homework. Take it home. Do it for homework. Read it over Shabbos. Basically, the Gra says on this pasuk also. It's really on. I think it's really more on the last pasuk. B'chol avavachol v'chol nafshcha. The Gra says. The Drashas Sarad says that when bad things happen to a person, So he tends to turn to God. That's what people do. There's no atheists in a foxhole, right? When someone's sick, everybody turns to God. When someone's sick, right? But the question is, what happens after it passes? Right, we all lived through COVID. Everybody's tefillahs were so much better there. But then what happens afterwards? Life goes back to normal. So the Drasha Saran over here writes that that's not the way a person is supposed to really do tshuva. He says there's two ways. It could be when bad things happen. Oh, and everybody's crying and yelling and screaming and refa'enu, we need a refuah, we need this, we need that. But no, he says, he quotes basically a pasuk back in Parshas Veschanan, ki sidrushenu uvikashtem misham. When you're in Golos, uvikashtem misham, ki sidrushenu b'chol v'avchol v'nasha. It's got to be real. It's got to be real. It's got to be, the tshuva has to be real. It's okay that the tshuva was motivated by something that was sort of, quote unquote, fake, meaning, oh, like all of a sudden we woke up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, where have you been for the last 4 years? Right? Guy barely goes to shul, barely says any words. All of a sudden somebody's sick. Oh, he's going to shul 3 times a day. He's davening. He's staying extra. He's making extra siddurim. Like, so the Drasha Saran says, there's two ways that a person can do that. Either you could do all this extra stuff because you want something to happen, and then once it happens, you're done. You're back to the beginning. Or no, that a person really makes real change in his life. That is the real kind of tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And that's going to really affect the person. And it's fake. He just points out that it's a little bit fake that people take upon themselves all these things in honor of, because of somebody who's sick or whatever. I'll just close with this. I've said the story many times. There was once a guy who was very, very sick, and people were going around suggesting that people should take upon themselves certain things. And so I took upon myself, at that time, it was around 10, 15 years ago, I forgot already. I took upon myself, I'm not going to watch any highlights on the internet. I'm not going to watch any highlights. Not that watching a highlight is the worst thing ever. I'm not telling people, whatever. That was what I was up to at that time, 15 years ago, whatever it was. Not to watch on highlights. And then Nebuch, the guy, died. So I was clearing the Shaila. Do I keep it? Do I keep it? It didn't work.
Well, you think it.
Oh, very good, John Santos. Very good, John Santos. So, happens to be, luckily, I happened to have kept it, but it was a question. I wasn't sure whether I had to keep it, especially because it didn't happen.
That's a different question, whether you have to.
Right. Anyway, all of us are going to hopefully take upon it, and that's why I always say, every L I try to take upon myself, one small thing, one small doable thing. You don't want to take upon yourself to change the world, and I'm gonna fix this and fix that and fix the other thing. I always feel the best thing, what really changes a person's life, is one small doable thing that I'm gonna do better. One small, it's doable. That's the key thing. That's what he's saying over here. Because a lot of times people take upon themselves all these things that change, and then after it's over, it's back to normal. It's like nothing happened. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the wisdom to not give in to the Yetzer Hara. To try and figure out what the next thing is, and we should all be blessed with a ksiva chesima tova good kibbutz yar. And I hope, with Hashem's help, that next Thursday night
in Yerushalayim,
right? But if not, chas v'shalom, we'll be back here, same bad time, same bad station. Thank you for coming. I want you to have a great Shabbos.
Keep my seat warm. Rabbi, you mind this video? I saw
keep my seat wet.
This guy in Israel, this is Hebrew. He's looking for a parking spot. He opens his room and puts it I'll keep kosher. And also this guy pulls out of his spot and he goes, Rabbi Shalom, you say to Mitzati,
Who do you think showed you the spot? Very good. That's great. I got to see that one. That's great. Have a great Shabbos. Thank you for coming.
Did Marv here at the end of the night, sir, picked up at 10 o'clock?